مباركة الفاتحة.
قبول لهم شكرا. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد. والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، قد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته. قال محمد صلوات My elders, my brothers, my sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. The holy verse that I recited for you, you've heard it a few times, I'm sure, and basically what it says is that, oh, people who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as it is His right or is appropriate or as He deserves to be feared. And what we're going to discuss today is a few things, and I'll try to give you a brief introduction. Hopefully I'll be able to cover all the things that I'm going to set out for. We're going to try to discuss the concept of fear. What is fear? As well as what is human behavior. It's a topic which it basically has its roots in fear. Majority of the things that we end up doing or our behavior, if it is misbehavior, which, you know, we parents, or if you're not a parent, if you're a child or a teenager, whatever the case is, the term misbehavior comes quite a bit, right? You know, we as parents say, oh, our kids are misbehaving, like, we don't know what to do with them. The kids are saying our parents are misbehaving, we don't know what to do. So I mean, either way, whatever relationships that we do have, there's sort of a behavior that we're supposed to have as human beings and the roles that we play. I mean, I don't know what roles you have. Maybe you're a father, maybe you're a mother, maybe you are a worker, maybe you're a student. Whatever roles that you have, your behavior is of the key asset or key point. I was thinking about it on the way here in the car. You know, I was going to ask you a question in regards to how many people were in a fight or argument in the last 1 week. And I thought I would get you to raise hands. But then I figured, you know, maybe somebody might not be comfortable with the idea to let everybody else know here that they have been in a fight or argument. Or, you know, who are thinking of fighting when you go home. You might have had something happen in the morning or during the work, and now you're feeling like you're going to take it out when you go home, you know. Whatever it is, whether it's the wall, whether it is your wife, maybe, God forbid, your wife, that you're going to take it out on. But whatever the case is, I'm sure almost everybody sitting here has been involved in some sort of argument in the last 1 week. Let's see how, you know, what we'll do is we won't raise hands, but how loud you say the salawat, we'll find out. So basically everybody, right? That's what I thought. Anyways, what happens is with misbehavior, there are four things that I'm going to discuss about and try to conclude it or have a connection with fear, and then try to discuss what fear is and what is the true fear and what is the false fear. The four things are: number one is attention, number two is power, number three is revenge, Number four is assumed inadequacies. Everybody have this? You know, generally I don't like to talk about too many points, so if you can remember this. The reason why we misbehave, or the reason why kids misbehave, or the reason why human beings misbehave is four things that are the catalyst or the reasonings behind. Either it is attention, or it is power, or it is
revenge.
Thank you. Someone's listening. Or the fourth is the assumed inadequacies. So these are the four things. See, to study human behavior in psychology, unfortunately, majority of the work that has been done in ilm al-nafs, which is a very important subject in Islam, a majority of the work that has been done is going, the credit is going to the Orientalists and so forth. The work that we do have in Islam that deals with ilm al-nafs, not too many of the books have been translated into English, which can become a source for everybody, or a lame person like myself who can just pick up a book and just read and find out what is ilm al-nafs. Ilm al-nafs is the knowledge of self. And the reason why I say it's very important in Islam is because you've heard the hadith that man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbahu. So there are many ways to find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can take a look at the tree, you can take a look at the ocean, you can take a look at the sky, you can take a look at the small little particles in the dust that you find when the light is reflecting. I mean, you can take a look at everything that is around you, and you will be able to have a thought coming to your mind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the hadith says that the best way, or if you want to find out truly who is your Lord, is then find yourself first. That is a path that if you tread on it, and it is a journey as we all are in, that's what life is. If you tread on this journey, if you tread on this path, on this awareness or realization in life, you will come to a point when you have found yourself, you would have found your Lord. So look how important it is, ilm al-nafs, knowing our own selves. So I would urge you that, you know, you pay close attention. Obviously, I have a strong accent, right? Everybody, I've already said this to you before. On a lighter note, you know, this one person comes from abroad. He sits in the car. The taxi driver asks him, where you want to go? He goes, Yamka. I want to go to Yamka. And the taxi driver was like, okay, you know, he didn't understand what he was saying, but he carried on with it because he said, well, this guy is coming from abroad and I'm a taxi driver. I'm supposed to know where the city is and where the things are, right? So he didn't bother saying to the guy, you know, I don't understand what you're saying. What is Yamka? So anyways, he's driving around 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes passed by, but that reminds me, what time I started? 5, 10 minutes ago, right? Abbas Bhai, what time am I supposed to finish? Alright, okay. So, sorry. Always lose track of time. So anyways, this taxi driver keeps, just the last person just keeps on driving around him in the city, and you know, he finally gets to the point, he goes, you know what, could you write it down for me, please? Like, he doesn't say that I don't know. You know, he just says, can you please write it for me? And the guy writes YMCA. Yamka, right? So, basically, because of his accent, so I know I have a strong accent as well, so if you don't understand, but I would like you to pay close attention to what I'm saying, and if you don't understand, then I'll, at the end of the day, I'll write it for you. Whatever I said, by Muhammad Salawat. So we said that, you know, the factors that are there for misbehavior would be either to seek attention, and we'll just go back and try to explain to you a little bit, to my best knowledge, and I'm sure you probably know a lot more than this. Attention is basically something that kids generally tend to want a lot. But I've seen, you know, a lot of adults as well. As they tend to grow older and older, they tend to want a lot more attention. you might have seen it, when the person reaches the age of 50, and I won't say 50, but close to, going to 60 and so forth. I can say that with a smile on my face because I haven't reached that age. But when you get closer and closer, this desire or want inside of you to want attention becomes stronger. And it was the strongest when you were a child. Right? The reason why the kids will start misbehaving is either there is no attention. The father or the mother is just, they're both working and they're coming home and nobody is looking after them. The kid is just not yet being attended to, and the natural thing to do for the child is to seek that. When he tries to seek it, he will do something like, break the glass or climb the sofa or do something that the parent has told him in the past not to do. Because he knows if he does it, it's going to attract attention. Right? So same thing with us as well in arguments, because I told you the both sides, we're going to talk about parents as well, the kids as well. As human beings, we all have this. In arguments, as far as, let's say, family life is concerned, or any of the other roles that you end up having, you might have heard of that, or you just come home and you say, "Main itna zyada kaam kiya aaj, koi mujhe yaar kya na koi pucha na salaam na dua kya," right? We tend to do that, and what happens is if you don't have a right answer to give, like God forbid, you say, "Oh, kaane mein namak zyada tha," or something of that sort. Now the purpose behind the other person asking this question was just to get a little bit of attention. And it could have been like the whole argument would have started, and by the end of it you're like one room or the other room or Tika Khudafiz or something. But all it needed was just a little bit of attention. To say, "No, you know what, the food is really good. Love it, even if the salt is more." Just deal with it. Same thing on the other side as well, if the husband comes in and says, "I had a really rough day," and so forth, what he's trying to do is just say that, "Okay, I'm looking for some attention." Just a little bit of saying, "Don't worry about it, everything will be okay, I'll get you a cup of tea or I'll get you a water, you want Tylenol, you want paracetamol, something." If those things, these are very small things. And same thing with the kid as well, if you find that the child is misbehaving and you can point it out to the fact that it is annoying, if the child is annoying you, most likely just trying to get some attention. So all you can do is, "Okay, beta theeko, kya masla hai, school mein koi problem kya," just give him or her some attention. The other thing I talked about was power. The child might have this misconception that if he, and generally this is with the teenagers, if he or she can show power or command in front of the parent, ensure that, he or she is the most intelligent or the strongest. Especially when you're a teenager, you tend to think that you're basically Hercules, That there is nobody stronger than you, there's nobody more wiser than you, I've been there. I was a teenager at one point. And this is what tends to happen, and that is all revolving around power. Right? As far as we, in the community, there might be some problems with one brother or the other brother, and it might be just on a small issue. Whether Mulan is going to have water or not, which I didn't get. Oh, it is on the side, okay, sorry about that. Okay, we won't give this example because the water was there. But, something like what Niaz was supposed to be served. And let's say the niyaz that was supposed to be served, the person suggests this is the thing that we're going to serve. The other person says, "No, this is not the thing we're going to serve." So what happens is there seems to be this back and forth on an argument. Why? Because the other person wants to show the power that he has or she has in the community to be able to decide what niyaz is going to be served today. But all that it was needed was, in that particular case, was, "Okay, you know what? If you feel like that this particular niyaz is supposed to be served, go ahead." At the end of the day, we're just trying to volunteer. at the end of the day, we're just trying to do this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not for what niyaz I would like to have. True or not? I mean, majority of our arguments will end up trying to seek power. And if you look around the world, what is happening around the world? The misbehavior or the arguments or the fights or the wars that have been happening. What for? Power. Just to prove a point. What? That you're the strongest, that you've got the most weapons. Right? That you happen to be the superpower of the world. What for? Who's going to care at the end of the night when they go to bed who is the superpower or not? I mean, what we are worried about is mortgage with the huya yanyuhi. Hydrocabilayata ukte huya yanyuhi. And garlic insurance pata ni chala gaya check ya bolu. Hame kya, what concern on individual basis people have who's the superpower or not? So what's the point of proving to the rest of the world that you are the superpower? What change or productivity or freedom it's going to give to the individual beings that you're trying to prove this to? Instead of that, hundreds and thousands of people die on daily basis. Hundreds and thousands of wives lose their husbands. Hundreds and thousands of kids, they lose their parents. How for? By Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the other thing was revenge, we said. And the revenge is something which, when the person feels that the power was not given and has negative feelings about that factor, wants to do something in return. Right? So basically what happens is that as a child, if you didn't give the attention and, you know, there was some sort of power struggle and the person is there, he's going to try to take revenge on the parent. And what best way to take revenge than to misbehave? Right? He or she knows that if I was going to get out of the house and not come back, or come back at a time that my parents told me not to come back, they're going to get upset. So I'm going to do that just to hurt them. Revenge is taken by, you know, the teenagers differently, like the world politicians differently, among husband and wife differently. Is dafa jo hai na maine namak talne hi nahi. Right? Basically what happened is either once, this is the third step. When the attention was not given, there was a power struggle. The third step is natural progression, revenge. Now, I won't go too much in detail because I still have to get to the part about fear, but, you know, maybe later time, inshallah. I seem to be like a representative of Maulana Bakri. Whenever he has to go out of the city, I happen to be coming in front of you. But if it happens, I mean, I hope and wish he stays with you, among you, and then, but if next time, inshallah, we'll go more in detail. And the last part was assumed inadequacies. Now, this is the fourth progression. The person was not given attention. There was a power struggle. Revenge was taken or not taken. The when it's all of the things that he seems to or she seems to be not be able to proceed forward, he or she comes to a point where assuming that he or she is inadequate. I will never amount to anything. I'm never going to be anybody. As a child, I was always told that I'm not intelligent. So, even with the kids as well. You know, the first 6 years, their personality is wired. That's what the scientists say and the Holy Prophet of Allah, they all shall them. The first 7 years are very important. Treat your kids as if they were kings and queens. Because in that way, when they are growing up in the first 6 years, first 7 years, they will not be able to, as far as like, you know, all of these struggles that they have to go through, they will not come up to the point of assumed inadequacies. Did you get my point? That was a point to think over. That the Holy Prophet 1400 years ago gave this psychological perspective about human behavior. And the reason was it that fourth stage. He didn't want the kids to come to that fourth stage, because then they will be for the rest of their life feeling inadequate, having no self-confidence, no self-esteem, and not being amounted to anything for the rest of their life. Now, as far as fear is concerned, that seems to be the bottom line when these progressions are happening, right? And what fear has been defined is false. I don't know if you guys, anybody in sales or marketing? Only me? Okay. Basically, this is what I'm doing, right? Selling an idea to you, right? Happens to be the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the message of the Holy Prophet, but that's all it is. Why wrong with Allah?
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So in the books you will find the definition of fear as such. F-E-A-R, right? Fear. False, evidence, appearing, real. Everybody with me? False, evidence, appearing, real. I'll give you another definition. I'm not sure if you heard of that or not. Fantasized, experience, appearing, real. Okay. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, if you look at Shaitan, right? Shaitan, what happened was, in the beginning, he wanted attention. Right, I mean, I'm going to try to explain to you about Shaitan's misbehavior, right? Because he's the one who, we all claim that he's responsible for our misbehavior. But kisko hum kehte hain, yaar, maine ye kaam isliye kiya kyunki Shaitan ne kaha tha. Right, wo apni choice, so we forget about the fact that we have a choice or not. So when you look at him, he worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 70,000 years or 7,000 years, whichever one you want to take in the traditions. He was a jinn among angels, wanted to get attention so that he can be classified as the leader of the angels. So he went and got all the attention and became to be a prominent leader. After he got the attention, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this creature out of clay, mud. Now, the attention seems to have been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving attention to this being. And he seemed to have found that there was a power struggle. He was losing control, right? Especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him that, okay, do sajda. He did not want to do prostrate in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. That would mean if you go into that lowly form of sajda, which is not, there's nothing really more lowlier or humble than that, it would mean that he has lost his power. He decides not to have it. Now, when that also didn't go, the third progression, are you with me? Yeah, no subhanAllah, no alhamdulillah, this is such a nice point. English method. The third progression that comes up is, what did he say? I want to take revenge. Right? I'm going to make sure that this creation that you have created, I'm going to make sure that its progeny, I'm going to mislead them. Why? Just to try to take some revenge. Now, he's trying to take revenge till the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him time to be able to do it, and until the time that he's going to show up in Raj'at and he's going to be killed. But he comes to the point when he cannot seem to misguide you. He comes to his last progression of inadequacies. Right? He's inadequate. Like, you know, well, I won't give you my example, but people, great people, great people in this world, like Hazrat Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi, Hazrat Imam, Shaykh Mutahari Rahmatullah Alayhi, Imam Tabatabai Rahmatullah Alayhi, I mean, all of these great ulama that have been among us, he tried to take revenge on them, tried to mislead them, but he found that he couldn't, and he felt inadequate. See? So the bottom line is false evidence appearing real. Right? That's what fear is. When we come to this world, there are two fears that we're born with. There are only two fears we're born with. The rest of them are acquired fears. Right? Just keep the definition in mind. False evidence appearing real. Okay. The first fear we're born with is the fear of heights. if you take a small child, you know, maybe 1 month old, 2 months, I mean, doesn't matter, 6 months old. If you take a small child and you just make him go, toss him in the air, not too far, obviously, but just a little bit, you'll find him go like this, right? Afraid. Now, if you take the same child and then, you know, not asleep or he's like quiet and not noticing you, and you go and you clap or you make a loud noise, you have the same reaction. Now, if you take the same child and put fire in front of him, the child will not be afraid of fire. He'll crawl and put his hand in there. When his hand gets burned, only then he acquires the fear of fire. You see what I'm saying? So the rest of the fears that we have accumulated over the last, for me, 31 years, you know, 40 years, 50 years, 60 years, whatever the case happens to be, are all acquired fears. The phobias that we have, right? Like some people are scared of snakes. Some people are scared of dark. Some people are scared of themselves. True or not?
Yeah.
Right. But the thing is, when you're talking about what is false and what is truth, and this is where I'm coming most likely towards a conclusion. Aadha ghanta ho gaya na? Acha. What is false and truth? The only thing which is true, the only thing which is haq, the only thing which is real, the only thing which is reality is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything else in this universe is false. Is not real. Amounts to nothing. So if you're going to have fear, it should be truth. You should only be afraid of what is real. True or not? What's the point of fearing something which is not real? What's the point of being afraid of your boss? What's the point? What's the point of being afraid of what he or she or somebody else is going to think about you? What's the point of you worrying on daily basis and being awake at night and stressing yourself of what tomorrow holds? This whole world is nothing. It's false. It's not real. What is real is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, once we are afraid, stress comes in our... We lose hope. And as soon as we lose hope, Shaitan comes over, powers us, and he takes his revenge. The bottom line for all of your stresses is fear. It's either false or you have fantasized it to be. Or you have fantasized it to be. You know, 70% of the people that go to the doctors have no illness. They have just fantasized themselves that they are sick. Do you know that most of the worries that are on your head right now for tomorrow, majority of them, I would say 95% of them, are not going to happen? What if? Right? This is what happens when we're sitting down and we're thinking, what if? What if that happens? What if that happens? What if I cannot get this job? Or what if I cannot do this? Or what if I cannot pay the mortgage? Or what if I cannot do this job? Or what if? What? So what? The only thing you should be afraid of is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullah. O people who believe, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Haqqa tuqate. As it is His right to be feared. His right is not to say that I fear you and then fear everything else as well. That is not His right. I fear you, yes I do fear you, but because I am afraid of this person or that person, I am not going to tread on the right path. Because of that, I will compromise on my religion, I will compromise on my values, I will compromise on the message that are given to me. I'm living in a society that does not like for me to dress this way or act this way or not listen to music or not be able to blend in, so I'm afraid of them, so I will compromise on my religion. Don't have to be afraid of anything. By Muhammad sallallahu alaihi
wasallam.
So my brothers and sisters, that is the cure of fear. That all the rest is just false. There's only one truth, which is Allah. Now I was told to recite some masail as well. Generally it's always very difficult to recite, but just going on the same topic as we were on fear, if you look at Karbala, you will only find the true fear. You will not find any of the false evidence appearing real in Karbala. Imam Hussain al-Sattar never ever, because of the power that Yazid was in and the threats that he had given to him, decided to fear him. All of his family and all of his friends that were present at Karbala, none of them had any sort of fear in their mind that they're only 72 and in front of them is 30,000, thousands of soldiers. They never even once had that fear come into their mind that what would happen to their lives. They never felt that, okay, because we have all of these odds against us, when Imam Hussain Sattu Islam has turned the light off, that we can get out. No. Only because of the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Hussain Sattu Islam, after saying goodbyes and picking up the bodies of his friends and family members and being all left all alone in the battlefield, decides, I have to go and I have to do what I've been asked to do since the time that I was born. Imam Hussain says khudafiz to all the bibis, finds his zuljana, gets on his zuljana, and the zuljana doesn't move. The zuljana is not moving and Imam Hussain is just thinking, why are you not going? And as he looks, what does he see? He sees Bibi Sakina holding the leg of zuljana and saying, please don't take my Baba. Don't take my Baba to the battlefield. Whoever has gone has not come back. Imam Hussain gets off, looks at Bibi Sakina and says, you know, my daughter, I love you. I love you so much that if you told me not to go, I will not go. But you know, if I don't go, your dad's religion is going to be finished. And what did Bibi Sakina at that age said? She said, Baba, if that is the case, bismillah. Then said, bismillah. Imam gets on their horse. His dad goes to the battlefield. I cannot describe, but you know, if you try to be there, you're sitting down on this carpet and the weather is all controlled for you. It's in the middle of the day, he's going, it's hot, he's been thirsty for the last 3 days, his back's been broken, his back is his body is hurting. He goes and he gets so many wounds. You imagine one person and thousands of people want to take his life away. And that's all they want is to kill him. And he falls and
لعنة الله على الظالمين.
My Lord, the sacrifice that Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave for the sake that we can have the true religion, for us saved to this day, my Lord, let us not waste it, let us not shortchange it because of our fears. My Lord, give us the strength to be strong, to have the faith, to have the courage, to have the knowledge, to have the wisdom, to become true followers of yours. My Lord, there are Muslims all over the world that are suffering. My Lord, please make their sufferings go away. My Lord, please make the coming of our Imam as soon as possible. Tomorrow is Friday. Every week we wait, then maybe tomorrow he will come and he will give meaning to our lives, to this useless life that we're living, that we can finally have some meaning in our life. My Lord, please make him come as soon as possible and make us his friends and followers. My Lord, all the people who are sick, make them well. My Lord, all the people who have passed away from this world. I wanted to ask you to recite the Surah Fatiha for all the marhumin, and especially for my father-in-law. He passed away on September 11th. His name was Sayyid Akhtar Iqbal Jafri. Al-Fatiha. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.